Hello, and welcome to the sermon series, God of Justice, from the book of Micah. I want to thank you for joining me. And if you've been a part of Sanctuary for any amount of time, then you know that this book is very important to the culture of our community. There's one verse that in particular should come to mind, but this is the first time in the 9 years at Sanctuary that I am preaching through the entire book of Micah. I was planning to do that later on this year because there's new people who have been joining the church and who are interested in who we are and how they can be grafted into this community. But I realized that now is the time to preach this message, the God of Justice. Why is it so important? Because we need to understand who God is. The book of Micah, in particular, asks this question. Two questions, in fact. Who is God, and how do we introduce God to others? Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, you might introduce God something like this. That God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. Yeah, those omnis. Anybody know those omnis? Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. Or if you are a lover of Jesus, then you might introduce God like this, that God is kind and God is compassionate and God, in fact, is generous. If you are a believer of Jesus, like if you follow Jesus cerebrally, intellectually, you might say, even as the songwriters did, our God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rules and conquers the grave. He rose and he conquered the grave. Shine your light. You know the song. So yeah, if you are a follower of Jesus, you might lay heavily on the sovereignty of God. Those omni messages about God. If you are a lover of Jesus, then you might emphasize the grace of God. If you are a believer of Jesus, you perhaps might emphasize the truth of God. Micah discovers something different about God. Not that God isn't sovereign or full of grace or truth, but that God is a God of justice. And as a God of justice, he is a defender of the oppressed, a judger of the oppressor, and the giver of hope for all people. That is who God is. And that's who he wants us to see him as. Why is this sermon series so important right now? At the start of COVID-19, about 3 months ago, I said that we're doing our best to prevent ourselves from being exposed to the virus, and the virus is exposing us. Now we find ourselves a crisis within a crisis, and this issue of racial injustice is exposing us. The main idea for the sermon series, the entire sermon series, is this. The God of Justice judges the earth based on the care and concern for marginalized people until Christ returns to save all. Let me say it again. I know the words are on the screen, but you might need to hear it. The God of Justice judges the earth based on the care and concern for marginalized people until Christ returns to save all. In fact, if we were to break this down, this is actually the outline for the sermon series, where we talk today about what is justice, and then we'll follow up with who does God judge, followed by why should we care, followed by how do we act on behalf of the marginalized, and then finally, what does it look like in the end? This series is critically important, not just for Sanctuary Columbus Church, but for all of God's church, that may we listen to the words of Micah and be challenged by them as God's prophetic word to his beloved people for a beloved community. This is where we get Micah 6:8, that if it is the character of God to be justice, then also it must be the character of God's people to act justly. Micah 6:8 is the hinge verse, right? He has told you, O man, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. This is more than a verse with some catchy words that we could put on a t-shirt or on a wall. This is to identify us in our very DNA. So we're going to look at Micah chapter 1 today, and the title of the message is All Rise. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Most Gracious Father, you who rule and reign from past, present, and future, our ears are open to hear your voice now through the prophet Micah. This word of yours was not just a word for some time in the past. It's real and relevant today. So may our hearts be opened. May our minds be opened. And even our mouths be opened to see, think, and feel, and speak what it is that you say. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, why the title, All Rise? Because when I read the Old Testament prophets, both the majors and the minors, I have in mind a courtroom scene, preferably one where Denzel Washington is my attorney. Yes, Denzel's is representing me. I got you, bro. Yeah. All Rise. But you know what it's like. You've seen the shows. You've watched the movies. Everybody's in the courtroom. And, you know, it's drama filled. It's maybe tense on one side and joyful on another. The media is either in the room or outside of the room because it's the biggest case that anybody's ever experienced in their lifetime. And everybody's all the chatter and so forth is going on back and forth. The jury's over there. They're going to be prepared to hear this case. And then from out the back comes the judge, robed in glory. And she takes her seat. And then everyone says, or somebody comes in there and says, All rise, the honorable God of the universe, clothed in majesty, who rules and reigns with a scepter of justice in his hand, is here. Do you hear that? God is here. And it's in this courtroom scene that Micah acts as an attorney who is bringing a case before God. And on the affidavit, that sheet of paper that says what this case is about, it reads the people versus the nation of Israel. The people versus the nation of Israel. And those people are the oppressed, marginalized, and vulnerable people who the nation of Israel, which includes the rulers and the powers and the other folk who benefit off of that oppression, who do nothing for the oppressed, are the ones who are on trial. When you read the Old Testament, particularly the majors and minor prophets, what you will notice is that they all do three things. Number one, they bring an accusation. They tell you quite plainly what the crimes are that the nation of Israel committed. Secondly, they tell you what the judgment is going to be. Sometimes the judgment is immediate, sometimes the judgment is in the near future, sometimes the judgment is in the far future, but there is a judgment that is coming. But it doesn't end there. The prophets also speak of a restoration of God's people. They offer hope. They offer the possibility that they can be restored as God's children. And so if you're looking to crack the code on any of the major and minor prophets, think in these three ways. In fact, if you want to understand Micah a little bit deeper, Open up your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 20, and you'll get the background of what was happening in Israel. The northern and the southern kingdom have been split in two, and the kings who rule, rule with wickedness, and the authorities who officiate, rule with wickedness and injustice. They're counted as people who are evil and corrupt, and this is seen quite plainly as a huge gap, widening gap, between the poor and the wealthy. That widening gap between the poor and the wealthy was based on ethnocentrism, materialism, religious pluralism, and nationalism that caused God's very own people to turn on those who are marginalized, oppressed, and vulnerable. Enter Micah, the one of the first attorneys to bring Israel to trial. And in chapter 1, here's how it's outlined. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, God sees the injustice. In 1 chapter 8, Micah mourns and laments for God's people. And in 1, 9 through 16, finishing out the chapter, God judges injustice. And it begs the question, as we sit and listen to Micah, do we believe that God is a God of justice, or is God a God of just us? Listen to the opening statements as Micah makes his opening statement in the courtroom. Chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 5. Hear, you peoples, all of you listen, the earth. And Micah's saying, listen, everybody is fitting to get this judgment right here. If you're a follower of God, you're going to get this judgment. If you're not a follower of God, you're fitting to get this judgment too. All of you, the whole earth, all who live in it, the sovereign Lord may bear witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Look, he shouts, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. In other words, God is leaving his holy temple, and he is coming down. He comes down and he treads on the heights of the earth. Verse 5. Why? He gives you the reason. All of this because Jacob's transgression, because the sins of the people of Israel. In Micah's opening statements, he says that God is coming down and God is going to witness the injustices of the people, the nation of Israel, against the oppressed, marginalized, and vulnerable people. And what we need to understand here quite clearly, what biblical justice looks like. Quite simply, biblical justice is caring for the vulnerable. Let's not mince words. Let's not overthink this here. And let's certainly not look at this through our own modern day Western eyes. God sees justice as care for the vulnerable. In the Old Testament, there's two Hebrew words that are used for that one word, justice, which whatever Bible translation you're reading, it might be translating it righteous. The first word is mishpat. That word mishpat means equitable treatment. It means that no matter of your ethnicity, nationality, gender, status, stage of life, financial or economic income, everyone deserves equal treatment. Everyone deserves mishpat, justice. And when that mishpat, justice, is exercised, everyone will understand that the treatment and the justice, the punishment that is meted out, will be no respecter of persons, but that it will be done fairly, equitably, for all people. Secondly, the word tzedakah means that there are equitable relationships. So this word justice doesn't just mean something about how the laws work and the treatment of the laws for all people. It also equals the personal one-on-one relationship. So it is, in one sense, mishpat is systemic as it is related to the entire system, and tzedakah is personal and relational. It is both something that is controlled by the the government. It is something that is controlled by the policies. It is something that is controlled by the laws. And it is something that is expected of individual personal relationships. And there are four people who are mentioned throughout the scriptures to whom it describes are the vulnerable. These are the poor, the fatherless, the widow, and even the foreigner. They are the ones who deserve equitable treatment. They are the ones who deserve equitable relationships. You see, God, when God called the nation of Israel, he was calling the nation of Israel to be a people unto himself who were quite different from the rest of the world. Other nations that were different from the rest of who God was calling the children of Israel to be. And when the children of Israel acted accordingly to the character of God, the poor, the fatherless, the widow, and the foreigner were treated equitably. God says it, I will make my nation a nation for all people, and my house will be a house of prayer for all people. Listen, in the ancient Near East, no other god thought that way. No other god said that they would be a god for all people. No other god said that they would be a nation for all people or have a temple that would welcome all people. They were sectioned out. They were specialed out. God took favor on particular groups of people over other groups of people. But the God of the universe, the God of justice, says it is not that way with me. In fact, God, the God that we serve, takes it even further to say that God identifies with those marginalized people. Nowhere in the scripture do you see that God says, take care of those who have enormous wealth. Take care and pay attention to the men in your community. Take care and pay attention to those who have no want or no need for anything. Take care, pay attention to those who are clothed, who are well fed, who do not face injustices, who are not a threat to briberies. No, God says to take care of all of the people who don't have those things, and that God even identifies with them. If you want to take this further, read the book Generous Justice by Pastor Tim Keller from New York City. Here's one of the statements he makes about what this mishpat and tzedakah looks like. Justice, he says, of a society, according to the Bible, is evaluated by how it treats these groups, those four groups of people. And any neglect shown to the needs of the members of this quartet is not called merely a lack of mercy or charity, but a violation of justice, of mishpat. God loves and defends those with the least economic and social power, and so should we. If Micah and the other prophets were writing today about who are the oppressed, who are the marginalized, who are the vulnerable, I have to believe that one of those groups in this country of the United States of America are people of color, and in particularly, African Americans. We're going to unpack that over the course of this sermon series, but I didn't want to go without mentioning it today. That those who have been marginalized for centuries, who have been oppressed for centuries, who have been on the edge of breakdown and breakout for centuries, and the impact of that centuries long of marginalizations that still impact us today, are the ones that God says we need to listen to, we need to pay attention to, and that God and God's self identifies with. God calls into account the nation of Israel, who was God's chosen people, because they were not acting in the character of God, the God of justice. So if Micah was writing today, not only would he be saying this justice that God is going to pour out is on all the earth, it's specifically, particularly, going to be poured out on the church, those followers, those lovers, and those believers of justice in Jesus Christ. You say you follow Jesus? Micah's speaking to you. You say you love Jesus? Micah is speaking to you. You say that you believe in Jesus? Then Micah says, I'm speaking to you, that God has heard what is unjust and God is coming to rectify it and to right the wrongs that were done. Because God's nation had become a nation of idolatry because of their ethnocentrism, because of their materialism, because of their religious pluralism, and because of their nationalism. God says, that is not my character. The way in which Micah responds to this in Micah chapter 1, verse 8, is that he laments, he weeps, and he mourns because what he sees is not right. It doesn't reflect the heart of God. And that God is going to do something about it. And that causes Micah to mourn as well and to lament as well, because God's people are supposed to be a blessed nation, a nation that pours out blessing and generosity on other people, but they haven't. And so he laments and he mourns. To lament is to express deep sorrow for the travails of an entire nation, and as a group, ask for God's intervention. A couple Sundays ago, we had a lament time, and we lamented particularly for the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He was killed at the knee of a Minnesota police officer. That moment, though, was not the only moment we were lamenting for. We also lamented for Breonna Taylor and for Ahmaud Arbery. And since then, there are more names that have been added to the list. Names of African Americans who are unarmed, who died at the hands or the gun of a police officer. Or ones who have died at the hands of others who express hatred towards African Americans. Listen, there is much to lament for. In fact, when we hear about injustice, our first response is to lament, to cry out, to pour out our deep sorrow again and again and again, and to call out to God, who is going to pass judgment, and ask God for mercy as well as intervention. When we were going through that lament service, I was preparing and going through all of my books on spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices, and there was not one book that included lament as a spiritual practice. Not one. I think it is an egregious offense to God in our Western American culture and identity that we do not have lament as a spiritual practice. It is one that we need to cultivate and include right alongside scripture reading and scripture memorization, right alongside offerings and tithes, right alongside worship and prayers, to lament deeply. And to do that is to say with God, I see the injustice that you see, and I'm calling on you, God, to do something about it. But what God does, do something about it, is sometimes what we don't want to hear. In those remaining verses of Micah chapter 1, verses 9 through 16, God pours out judgment personally. And if you read those verses, he names city and town after city and town. He doesn't just mention the nation of Israel. He doesn't just call out Judah and Samaria. He calls out the specific names of the cities. It would be as if God were speaking through a prophet and would say, Columbus, Ohio. I've got a judgment for you. Minneapolis, Minnesota, I've got a judgment for you. Los Angeles, California, I've got a judgment for you. London, UK, I've got a judgment for you. Nairobi, Kenya, I've got a judgment for you. And you can name any city, because wherever there is injustice, God endeavors to speak and to correct. And God will do it personally. But verse 16 speaks of the heaviness, that what we ought to do with this judgment is to repent. Here in Micah 1:16, he says, shave your head. Your hair was your glory. Your hair represented your status in the community and in life. You know, shave it off so that the world will know that you are in mourning. For the children in whom you delight, they need to see and recognize how you feel and that you are planning to turn away from injustice. He says, make yourself as bald as the vulture. I don't know how bald vultures are, but that's got to be pretty bald. Like a couple hairs maybe that didn't get cut, but everything else is gone, like hairless, right? For they will go from you into exile. What he's saying here is that the next generation will suffer the consequences if we don't act justly now. If we don't repent, our children are the one who suffer. And certainly it is the children, the future generations in America, who continue to suffer and to cry out for justice to come, waiting on God as God speaks and moves God's people. Here's a few things that I think we in the West and in America in particular need to repent from. We need to repent as a nation for injustices of the past and present sin. We need to repent of personal thoughts and acts of sin. And then lastly, we need to repent of the inaction to address injustice. What we read about in Micah is that Micah not only is going to name the names of cities, he's also going to name the names of politicians. He's going to name the names of social elitists. He's going to name the names of people with everyday opportunities to correct injustice. Y'all, if we have ears to hear, we will hear what God has to say. Because Micah, though he was giving this prophecy in the late 600 BC, it could be that he was writing it today in the year 2020. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Micah brings the case, the people versus the nation of Israel. And if he were bringing this case today, it might look like the people, maybe the African-American community. Yeah, I know not all African-Americans are on the same page on this issue of injustice. However, a majority of us are. What I'm encouraged by today, though, it's not just African Americans who are speaking up and calling foul here. It's white Americans, it's Asian Americans, Middle Eastern Americans, Latinx Americans, people who are uniting because the sense of injustice has just gone out of control. The question is, do we understand that God is a God of justice, or are we embracing God as a God of just us? Let me pray. Heavenly, most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message today, that you would teach us who you are, your character, your nature. You are a righteous judge who will set all things right. So as the case is presented to you, God, open our ears, open our heart and our minds to see and say what you see and what you say. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. A message like this is particularly to Christians, those who call themselves followers, lovers, and believers of Jesus. But those of you who are not followers, believers, lovers of Jesus, there may be something in you that recognizes injustice today. I want you to understand that feeling, that idea that you have about injustice was not put there by you alone. It wasn't just put there because your parents put it there. It wasn't just put there because you read a book. It wasn't just put there because you just had that feeling or you were born with that innate idea and hope for justice. It was put there because God created all humanity to reflect his image. In theology, we call this the Imago Dei, the image of God. And when you act justly, you are acting as the God in you. But I want you to know there's more. This God of the Old Testament who acts justly is revealed perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ, who also acts justly, who says in Matthew chapter 25 that he identifies with the marginalized, oppressed, and or poor people, those who are not clothed, who are not giving water to drink, who are in prison and who are sick. God says, through Jesus Christ, I identify with them. And so your step today, perhaps, is to come not just closer to God, but even closer to the person of Jesus Christ. If you'll do that today, we want to hear from you. Fill out the connection card on our website at sanctuarycolumbus.com and let us know that you'd like to take the next step of faith in God by putting your trust in Jesus. God's fingerprint is already on your heart, already on your mind, and already in your hand. Let's complete that work by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. I have some reflection questions for everyone today. Number one, do you see justice the way God does? Secondly, have you lamented for injustices today? Or are you been quick to rush to action? Perhaps that action you need to think about is number three, something you need to repent of now. For our nation's injustices of the past and the present, for personal acts, thoughts of injustice, as well as inaction to address injustice the way God sees it. My prayer is with you and for you. I want to thank you for joining this journey today as we discover the God of justice and become the people who God is calling us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.